Please pray with me. Lord God, it was the Jews that first called the Messiah, your chosen one, and recognized him when he was born in Bethlehem. But many, many, many did not. And the kingdom was opened, as it always has been, to anyone who would believe and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We pray, Lord God, that we might recognize that you would desire to have mercy on all. Amen. Matthew Harrison, our new synodical president, recently commissioned at the International Center in St. Louis 34 people to be missionaries overseas. And one of the things he said to them was that they would always be praying for these missionaries back in the International Center every day. And he said, "We want you to know that if you stub your toe in Timbuktu, we'll feel it in St. Louis." I like that attitude. That recognizes that we're all part of one team sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an encouragement to those who are out there suffering, persisting, praying, and carrying our cherished gospel to people who do not have it. We're all God's missionaries. We're all doing that to some extent, and to a greater extent, hopefully every day. God wants to have mercy. When St. Paul wrote this phrase that's on the cover of our bulletin, that he may have mercy on all, he was thinking about his own people. Now, Paul was not called to go to the Jewish people. He was called to be a missionary to the Gentiles, to those people who did not have the Scriptures and who were not circumcised and did not know all the promises God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the history, the backstory of the kings and the prophets. But when Paul was doing that work, he always had in his mind that God desires to have mercy on everyone, even those who reject him and the saving work of Christ. You know, Jesus prayed when he was being crucified that God would forgive those who crucified him. He meant those responsible, not just the ones pounding the nails. And there were Jews and Gentiles in that. In fact, everyone was rejecting him on that day. And Paul saw a lot of rejection of Jesus' gospel and then turned to the Gentiles. But he didn't turn his back on the people to whom God spoke first. It's the wrong motivation when you're a missionary to go to other people because your own people don't listen. To try to find your fulfillment in the people that don't reject you or what you have to say. Always we have to be looking back over our shoulder, as Paul did, at those that were left behind because they disobeyed or because they rejected the message. All in our text means those people that we don't know yet, and those people that have already heard and already known and already seen but haven't participated in it. Look with me for a minute at our gospel story. The woman of Canaan. A woman to whom Jesus pointed as an example of great faith. Now, just last Sunday, we heard a different kind of faith being applied to Peter. Now, Peter is a pretty big guy in the church. He knew everything. He was getting the full training of Jesus himself. I mean, that's a better seminary than you can find anywhere. But Peter, when he walked on the water, looked around at the wind and the waves and began to sink. And Jesus said, "Why did you doubt, you of little faith?" But not this Canaanite woman. Jesus said she had great faith. Now why? Well, first of all, she was persistent in prayer. When she first asked Jesus, she gave the right words. She said, "Lord, have mercy." We say that every Sunday, don't we? That's the standard. Those are the best words you can say. "Lord, have mercy." And then she called Jesus the Son of David, which is like a kingly title. And she recognized exactly who he was. But did Jesus turn to her and say, "Now, here's a woman of great faith"? No, he didn't answer her at all. And did the disciples come, "Oh, Jesus, come on. This lady needs a little help. Can't you just do a quick miracle for her?" That's what we might do. Or would we do what the disciples did? "Jesus, this lady, she's bothering us. Send her away." "Okay, Jesus, I get it. You don't want to help me. I'll leave." That's what we would say. But no. She gets down on her knees and she begs him. Even after she heard that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, was Jesus being a Zionist here? Was he being pro-Israel? No. Was he being rude when he called her a dog? Yeah, that's what he called her, a dog. He said, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Did she get offended? No. She was obedient to God's priorities. That's the second thing. She was trusting that God's way was the best way, and that she would not lose out if she stayed obedient, if she followed the ways of God's word and the ordinances and the order of God's plan. She trusted that she would get mercy too, because she knew that God would have mercy on all. And so she put her faith. That's the third thing. She put her faith in mercy. Now, a lot of us put our faith in being insiders. We've been members of the church for a long, long time. We've prayed a lot of prayers and seen a lot of things happen. We've given a lot of offerings over the years. And we think maybe that God ought to answer us because we know him so well. But this woman wanted God to answer her because of mercy. So she says, "Yes, but the children eat the crumbs. All I need is a crumb that falls from the children's table." The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. I'm sorry. Do you want mercy? Can I have a volunteer? Somebody to come up. I'll embarrass you just this much. Anybody? My glasses aren't on. I can't see.
Sydney.
Okay. What? Who'd you
Sydney.
See?
Oh.
Sydney. Okay. Sydney, come up. This is going to be a little hard. But this little girl, she's so pretty. She's so special. We love her. Does she need mercy? Do you need mercy? Should we pray for her because she's so cute? Should we pray for her because she's so pitiful? We don't like to think of ourselves as pitiful, do we? We don't like to think of ourselves as even needing prayers. We want to be strong. And so we privately pray about our private hurts and our private needs for mercy. But the fact is that we all need mercy. And you need mercy too. We're going to pray for you to have mercy, okay? Do you know what mercy is? Not sure. That's when God's nice to you, even though you don't deserve it. He's nice to you anyway, because He loves you so much. Thank you for coming up and being my guinea pig today. I appreciate that. It could have been anybody. Anybody in this room could have been standing there. And the same is true for all of you. And me too. We all need God's mercy. Now, why does everybody need mercy? Well, there's a story of a couple of workers whom a guy was watching in the park. He was sitting on the park bench and watching these workers. And one of them would dig a hole about 2 or 3 feet deep. And then the next guy would come and fill up the hole. And they looked like they were getting paid a lot because they had city uniforms on. And they'd do it again and again. He couldn't believe his eyes. The guy dig a hole and the other guy would come and fill it up. And so he walked over to them and he said, "What are you guys doing?" "Well," he said, "it's our job to plant trees." He digs the hole, and Charlie puts the tree in the hole, and then I fill up the hole. And Charlie's sick today. That's why God needs to have mercy on all. Because He wants everybody to be sharing their gifts, to be sharing their good news, to be sharing the way God made them to be. As part of the body of Christ. The body is not whole if somebody's missing. That's why God kept the door open for the Jews. He didn't reject the Jews, but kept them open according to election, their choice by God from eternity, that any Jew who would believe would be saved. And any Gentile who believed would be saved. And when disobedience comes along, we don't like to think about obeying God very much. We like to think that that's a choice, whether we want to obey or not. But there's only two choices. You either obey or you don't obey. God is pleased when we obey His Word. And He loves it when people come to the knowledge of Jesus and their hearts are changed for obedience. We all disobey. And that's why we all need mercy. The mercy of Almighty God. On the wall in the back of the church, you'll see some sheep stuck on the wall. And that was an activity that we did according to group's curriculum. That the children would look for places where they saw God in the world. They would look in nature for reminders of God's beauty and God's glory. But they would also look at the service of other people and give God thanks for that service. To notice the gifts of other people. And to see God in those gifts. Now, when that woman at Cana was passed by Jesus, She was given with the eyes of faith to see Him for who He truly was. That He was God walking through the region of Tyre and Sidon, outside the boundaries of Israel. And because she saw God, she cried out for mercy and rejoiced to have her prayer answered after some delay. Do you see God walking by in the beauty of nature, in the gift of your family members, in the person who needs mercy that you can pray for? Mercy instead of judgment. Mercy instead of condemnation. If you see mercy for them, then you see what God sees. In fact, you see God walking among us, blessing us, because He wants to have mercy on all. Kyrie eleison, we pray. Lord, have mercy on us all. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.